God has placed in all of us a desire for something that extends beyond what we can see or touch. Everything that we encounter in life, everything that we hold, everything that we own, everything that we experience that has some sort of sensory perception. You can see it, you can smell it, you can touch it, you can taste it. Everything ultimately has limited, if not momentary, satisfaction. So that all that we experience in this life, and no matter how often we experience it, is always going to have a limited ability to meet any need within us. And yet, because we are physical beings, we seem almost driven to try and find something that will satisfy, whether it is a sense of belonging or nostalgia or tradition or sameness, or whether it's something new or always different or changing things as we go, whether it's trying to satisfy urges of the physical desire, whether it's trying to somehow soothe and satiate the emotional roller coaster that is this life, we're always looking for something. Some people turn to chemicals and other substances to try to find either an escape or a fulfillment, and some turn to workaholism and money and success and material things. You pick from the list or make your own. But the reality is that everything that falls into those categories is ultimately going to be an utter and complete failure as far as bringing any sense of peace or well-being or hope. And there's a reason for it. The Bible says that God has placed in the heart of every human being his eternity. And what it means is that we are made in the image of God and we have the ability to connect with the eternal nature. And so that eternal nature is what we were made for, and it's what was disrupted by sin. So that in this life we are attempting to overcome the sinfulness that otherwise seems to constantly hold us down in an effort to reconnect with the eternal. Some deny it and refuse to accept that this is true, and yet look at the deniers and look at those who reject. They're generally angry and they're all hacked off about it, and they don't want you talking about God and Jesus and salvation and heaven and hell. And what does that mean? I mean, if it's not something that you care about and if you don't believe it exists, then why does it bother you when I talk about it? Because it bothers you because of conviction. It bothers the world because every time we talk about Christ, we talk about judgment. When you believe Christ, you're delivered from sin and you're reconnected with the eternal. When you reject Christ, you remain cut off and in your sin with no hope of eternal. Everybody has that in them. And it is in the awareness of that and the reconnection that we experience through that, that we are brought into this relationship that we refer to as salvation, and that salvation restores that balance, that connection point. And we experience something that is amazing. The release of sin, the removal of the barrier, the welcoming embrace of grace itself that brings us into a relationship with Christ so that we know we belong to Him and we know that we are more than victors. Our response to it is always the same. Thank you, God. Praise you, God. It's glory. Well, I thought glory was the shining brilliance of God. It is. But the shining brilliance is not contained in a visual light show. The shining brilliance is something that is much deeper and stronger and more powerful than that. John talked about Jesus as the light. And he said that the light has come, and the darkness did not understand it, but had to flee from it. He is the light of the world and the light of men. There is a brilliance that is contained in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it is so much so that when Christ appeared, everything changed. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten Son of God. What you see in grace, what you see in salvation, what you see in Christ, what you see in hope, what you see in all of these things that are expressions and extensions of who He has called us to be in Christ, is the fulfillment of that basic need that He placed within all of us from the beginning. He placed eternity, a desire for eternity in us. And when we encounter the eternal, what we are really experiencing is also the glory of God. So that our only response is worship. It is that moment in which we recognize that this is something that is indeed divine and extends beyond everything else, leaving us nothing left but glory. We talk every year about the birth of Jesus, but this year we talk about the birth of Jesus from the perspective of why He came. We're calling it the mission of Christ. What is it that this is all about? It is about what God sent Jesus, what Jesus was born and lived and died and rose to accomplish. The mission of Christ. Is Christmas all about that? It isn't all about that, but it is about its beginning. And because Christ has come, and because He has accomplished His purpose, and because He is with the Father, we can look at that and we can understand the mission that He came to accomplish and the purpose for which He lived and died. All of this gives us an awareness of something that moves beyond the limitations of what we normally experience. It's more than nostalgia. It's more than a reflection. It's more than a memory. It isn't a devotional life. It is life itself. It is the satisfaction of that most basic inner desire that exists within every human heart, the desire for eternity, and can only be satisfied by Him. By Christ alone. So share with you today the first in this series of messages that will focus our attention on the mission of Christ. Simply put, glory. Listen to what the Bible teaches us in Luke 2, that familiar passage regarding the birth of Jesus. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The Bible speaks to us in a way that reminds us of something that is beyond us. And this first section of it simply shows us the announcement of glory. The angels came to the shepherds. Shepherds were outcast. They were considered unclean. They were considered people of low social standing, to say the very least. He came to those that were least likely to be the ones to receive this message first. I think about how he has done so much in all of us, and you could give your own testimony and story of what God has done. And do you never think and consider the fact that why you? Why me? He comes to us not because of what we can give to him, but because of how desperately we have nothing to offer whatsoever. It is grace in its highest form and at its most powerful level. He came to the shepherds and the angel made this announcement, and it says, suddenly there was with the angel the heavenly host. Still, we don't see glory yet. We see the angel. We see the heavenly host. What did it look like? I have no idea. And I doubt that words could ever describe, and I doubt that images could ever depict. And yet it was something that left them in such awe and wonder that their only response along with the host of heaven was glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus is the announcement of God's glory. What are you getting by on today? What are you surviving on? Are you surviving on the scraps of a world that is destitute? Are you surviving on the best that this world has to offer, knowing in your heart, knowing in your head, that it is still just garbage that is on the decline? Everything in this life is hay, wood, and stubble. This is how the Bible describes it. And when the judgment of fire comes upon this world, what will hay, wood, and stubble do? It'll burn up. And it'll be gone. We try to make so much of this stuff. Before we left Arkansas to come home, I told Dad, I said, I'm putting together a collection of some old items from the farm up north. And I said, I don't have anything from this farm, and I'd like to collect a few things. He said, well, I've got some stuff in the shop. And this is the understatement of the century. Because my dad's a hoarder. And the only reason that he isn't completely covered up with old copies of Field and Stream and Outdoor Life is because I throw them away. He said, well, let's go out and look. I said, okay. And so we go out there and we look through. And it's not as bad as it used to be because Kathy and I have cleaned it up a half dozen times. And he's getting old enough now. It takes him longer to mess it up than it used to. He's just not as able to do that. And so we start looking around the room. And I've seen this stuff a million times. It's been there for years and years and years. But I didn't know the story. I said, I knew you had an old cotton scale in there. I said, where'd that come from? He said, well, it was Pop's. Pop was my mother's father, my grandfather on my mother's side. Everybody called him Pop. His name was Alvin. He preferred Pop. I said, really? He said, yeah, Pop grew cotton down there in the field. I said, you're kidding. I said, I didn't know that. I said, that was never anything but a hay meadow since I can remember. He said, yeah, he converted it to that in the later years, but he said it used to be a cotton field. And he said, that was cotton scale he weighed it with. He said, take it. I said, well, what's that? And he said, it's an old axe from when they used to make them in the forge in the blacksmith shop. And he said, Pop had it here, and I've kept it all these years. It's kind of rusty. He said, I still chop kindling every once in a while with it. But he said it's a hand-forged axe head. And he had a couple of other things. I don't even remember now. My mind's kind of jumbled up. We're getting ready to walk out, and he comes out, and he's got one of these old oil cans. And some of you remember back when gas stations supplied oil to customers, and they weren't in prepackaged cans. They were in drums. And so the proprietor would go to the drum and would pump out a quart of oil into a can. And the can had a spout that comes up and it's flexible. And it has a button you press or a lever. And it would open the valve at the bottom. And then the oil would run out of the can into your crankcase. And so that's how you bought oil, by the quart, was can at a time. And you know, however much you needed. Well, my grandfather, Pop, owned a city service gas station. And I remember he was still working it when I was, I don't know, 2, 3 years old, 4 years old, before he retired. And Dad comes out with his can. He said, "That's from Pop's city service gas station." Now, the value of all of these things combined is still less than $25. But to me, they have significance because of the association. The oil can is going to rust and go away. The cotton scale is no longer used to weigh cotton or anything else for that matter. It is nothing more than decoration. It's made of iron and it will also decay and go away. All of these trinkets and items and things, they have no significance except to the degree that they connect us with the relationships of value and the people that we have shared life with. Why? Because all of those people have eternity in their hearts. Therefore, all of us remain. What are you investing yourself in? What are you giving yourself to? Is it satisfying you? Is it making a difference? Is it meaningful? Does it meet your needs? Or do you constantly keep scrapping and scraping for something more in the hopes that maybe this time it will do it, knowing already that it is nothing more than the futility of running in a circle? Because ultimately, the only satisfaction you will ever know is through that connection with those things that have eternal significance. Relationships. And the greatest relationship is Jesus. When Jesus appeared, glory announced his birth. The announcement, look at verse 12, the response. "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Not only was there an announcement of Jesus' birth, there was an appearance. The angel told the shepherds where they would find the baby, and they went to see the appearance of Jesus, the appearance of glory. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "In him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." Why do we study the gospel record of Jesus' life and ministry? It is because in Christ we have the fullness of deity. We have everything that we need to know about God revealed through him. Why is your relationship with Jesus Christ so important? Because it is the only way you and I can fully and completely know God. The announcement of glory came with the announcement of the birth of Jesus. The appearance of glory, the physical manifestation, the manifest glory of God in this world was the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus was not just the beginning of salvation, it was the beginning of the revelation of the glory of the living God. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 1:3. It says, "He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. And after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." He is the exact imprint. He is the ultimate and complete manifestation. He is the radiance of the glory. He upholds everything that exists in this universe by the word of his power. This is Jesus. Hebrews is talking about Jesus. The appearance of Jesus meant the transformation of all that we experience in this life. It meant that we would understand the glory of God as a physical reality in our midst. We study the Bible and we read the Word of Christ and we learn and we grow in that relationship with Him, because it is through that relationship that we encounter God's glory. Why is this so important? Why is this so significant? Because everything else is junk. Everything else is meaningless and futility and is never going to last. To allow Howard to speak a little bit, one of the things that he said the other day was, well, I guess no matter how this turns out, I win. Some of you were around when Howard and Connie's son was killed in an accident. When Tom died, it was a tragedy beyond anything that I'd ever seen or known. And it drew attention in a way that I'd never imagined. And it was traumatic for them, but it was traumatic for me too, watching them. The powerlessness and the emptiness that we felt during those days. And not only that, I knew what it meant. It meant that I was going to lose Howard for a while. And I did. I can remember him talking about how he couldn't sleep at night and couldn't close his eyes because his mind allowed him to imagine the accident. We walked through that process and we experienced God's grace and powerful manifestations that left me forever changed. And little did I know, would create in both of us an ability and an equipping to help others in similar circumstances as days would pass and years would go by. But in the midst of all of that, we prayed for different outcomes. We longed for something other than that. We asked God to deliver us from the pain and the sense of loss and the uncertainty and the anger and the grief and all of the stuff that accompanies such tragic moments. And yet we were never delivered out of it. We were always sustained in it. And it was through the sustaining power by which the Word of Christ holds the very universe and its fabric together that we experience something that now we can look back on and know was glory. The glory of God made manifest in the appearance of Jesus. An announcement's one thing. An arrival, it's an altogether different thing. You're looking forward to somebody coming. Holidays, you know, we get together. Maybe you're in that position where you're waiting for the family to come rather than being the family that has to go. The announcement, hey, we're coming on this day at this time. The announcement, something. But it pales in comparison to the embrace that is engaged upon your arrival. I can tell you about Jesus, but He will be nothing more than a distant announcement to you until you surrender your life to Him, and until you experience His saving work in your heart, and until you encounter the glory that you have longed for all along. His announcement, His appearance, but then the shepherds show us their acceptance. Verse 15 says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, the baby, lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, doing what? Glorifying and praising God for everything they had seen and heard, for it was just as it had been told to them. The appearance was followed with their acceptance. And that's what this boils down to. Notice what they said. The angels left. The sky returned to its night appearance. And everything was as it had been. And they said, let's go see this. Let's go see this. There's something about seeing it for yourself, isn't there? Do you know how many people tell me that they think they're going to go to heaven because of a relative that used to be in the ministry, or because of a spouse that goes to church regularly, or because they haven't done anything really horrible? Which in itself, by the way, saying that is horrible. Do you know how many people are trusting in things that don't matter and things that aren't real? Do you know how much delusional activity is taking place in the hearts and minds of some that are even in this room right now? And maybe a few that will listen to the podcast of this sermon or will watch the next one that we live stream. And all of us are guilty of it, even Christians. We limit God and we contain Him in a box of our own creation, so that even though we have experienced His saving work, we do everything we can to keep it from intruding on our otherwise human plans. Acceptance means surrender. Let's go see this. Let's leave the sheep. Let's leave the job. Let's leave everything right now. Let's just drop it all. And let's go. And so they went, and they found it exactly as the angel had told them. And they saw Jesus, just a baby. And yet, because of the affirmation of the divine word that they had received, it said that they left there doing what? Glorifying God. This is what happens when we accept the truth about Christ. We experience the fulfillment of that earnest desire for eternity that is in all of us, ultimately leading then to an expression of glory. This is God. Nothing else. Nothing else could do this. Acceptance is that moment of transformation that we experience in salvation. It is that time where sins are taken away, where we are brought into the family of God, where we are made a part of who He's called us to be. There's some of you today that have been struggling with this decision for a while now, and you're probably further along in it than you even give yourself credit for. You're spending all of your energy and time thinking about, well, if I make this commitment public, or if I tell somebody, or if I go join the church and get baptized, what if I mess it up? Let me say this to you. You're going to mess it up. We expect you to mess it up. You come be a part of the I messed it up club. That's a lie that comes from hell that smells like smoke. That is designed to keep you locked in a fearful uncertainty. You already need to know that you can't do this, and you don't have to. Christ did it for you. Drop the excuse. Accept Jesus. Some of you are struggling with it, not because you're afraid you can't live up to it, but you think you already have. Come on. I'm as arrogant a person as you're ever going to meet. And even I know that's ridiculous. This doesn't get it done. Well, I went to church today. So what? That just shows that you've got some endurance ability. But if you're doing this on your own strength and you think that's enough, you need to set that aside. Because you see, when the time comes for you to praise or to worship or to express glory, the only thing that you can give glory for is yourself. And that just feels wrong, doesn't it? Some of us today have found a comfortable place. And we're just in a good routine. And we really wish that everybody else would just leave us alone. Let's just ride it out and rock on. There's no glory in that. There's just sameness. It may seem stable, but you're not going along, you're going down. That's not who God called us to be. That's not what God made us to be. That's not what calls forth glory from us. When we become satisfied with a diet that is so bland and indifferent to truth, we forget what glory tastes like. The psalmist said, "Taste and see, for the Lord is good." Acceptance is where you taste and see. So what does this mean? It means that the birth of Jesus represents the glory of God, and that Jesus himself is that manifest glory. So that when Jesus came to this earth, he did so to reveal God and to call us to himself, to trigger in you that desire for eternity. Then he gave that to the rest of the believers that would come after him, and he said, "You go make disciples now, and you teach them to observe everything I've commanded you. And I'll be with you. I'll help you get it done through the Holy Spirit." And so that's what we're doing. That's what I'm doing right now. Do you know Jesus? You should. That's what you really want. Everything else is going to pale and fail. If you need help, you need to ask for it. I will gladly help you. Anyone in this room will help you. But don't put it off. At some point, you got to get tired of that bland diet of same old junk of stuff that doesn't satisfy. It's time for glory.